Good morning, everybody. It's Louise here. Welcome to Shotgate Baptist Church's service. It's Sunday, the 23rd of August, and we're continuing to record the services remotely due to the current situation. As hopefully you're all aware, we are going to be reopening the building from Sunday, the 6th of September. If you want more information, just head over to the website, and all the information's on there, the guidance, and everything that you need to know. So this morning, Palani is on holiday, so we've got another guest speaker, Errol Jacobs, who's joining us again, and we look forward to hearing what he has to share with us later. Before we begin the service, I'd just like to open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings that you shower upon us each and every day. We thank you for the week that we've had, for the people that we've spoken to, the blessings that you've given us, the weather, the food, the homes that we live in, our friends, our family, our work, just everything that you give us, Father. And we thank you that you've been with us each step of the way for the challenges and for the joys. And we just pray that you'd be with us this morning, that you would bless us through the word that you've given to Errol. We pray that you would really speak to our hearts, drive us to change and become more like you. And Father, we just pray that each person listening today, whenever it is, would know your presence, would know your presence with them in a really special and meaningful way. And Father, we just thank you for Errol and for him taking the time to speak to us this morning. We just pray for him and his church at this time. It's such a challenging time, so many different things going on in the world. And we just pray for our brothers and sisters there in Hendon. We just pray that you'd be with them in their service this morning, that you would bless each one of them there. So be with us now for the remainder of our service. Amen. Now, to open this morning's service, I'm going to do a short reading. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. This chapter is entitled Praise to God for a Living Hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, Pam is going to play us a couple of songs this morning just to help us in our worship time together. The first song is Light of the World. We haven't heard this one for a little while, so just really think about the lyrics in your heart as you're listening as Pam plays.
Thank you.
And our next song is Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. Again, not one that we've had for a little while, so enjoy. Thanks very much, Pam. Thank you for those lovely songs, Pam. Now I'm going to hand over to Errol, who's going to bring us the message this morning.
Oh, good morning again, Shotgate Baptist Church. It is wonderful to be able to again share with you God's word this morning. So, without any further ado, we want to get into God's word to see really what God has in store for us this morning. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. My name is Errol Jacobs, and it is wonderful to be with you. Before we go any further, I would like us to commit our time in prayer to the Lord. So let us come to the Lord and pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and for the opportunity we have to come and worship God together, worship God in music, but also worship God with our lives and in the study of God's word. Father, will you continue to lead us as we look into your word this morning, challenge us. I thank you for Shotgate Baptist Church. I thank you for God's people. Lord, I pray for Polani and for his life, for him and his son, that they would continue to grow in God's grace, continue to serve God, and continue to make an impact, not only in the lives of the people in church, but also in the community. Lord, I commit the leadership of Shotgate to you. Thank you that you have been using them faithfully for so many years. Thank you for the fellowship as a whole. We thank you for the faithfulness of God's people. Thank you for the impact that they have had on our lives as a family, and they will always be dear to us. So Lord, continue to bless them, continue to use them for your glory and for your honor, I pray. Come now and bless us as we get into your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning what I have done, I have a bit of a long title for you this morning. I normally like to keep my titles short, but this morning I've got a bit of a long one for you. So, I have entitled this morning's message, "Circumstances Will Not Stop Me From Being Joyful in the Lord." Circumstances will not stop me from being joyful in the Lord. Like I said, it's a bit of a mouthful, but hopefully you'll be able to remember it. So we want to talk about being joyful this morning. We want to look at the real aspect of really what it means to be joyful, to be a believer in Christ, and to be truly joyful to the glory and honor of God. The Word of God says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 13, "A joyful heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit." Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Wow. Lovely verses from the book of Proverbs, but also directly focuses on what it means to be joyful. Now, we know the situation that we are in, but you know what? We still need to be joyful as God's people. And we'll see what we mean about that in a moment. It reminds me of a story of a man by the name of Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. Now, he was a member of the U.S. Supreme Court in the United States of America for about 30 years. His mind, his wit, his work have earned him the unofficial title of the greatest justice since John Marshall. So this was a highly esteemed man in what he achieved. Now, at one point in his life, Justice Holmes explained his choice of a career by saying the following: "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." Wow. Wow. And I think that speaks to the heart of us as God's men and women. It also speaks to the heart in challenging us as Christians. When people look at us, do they see joy in our lives, in our expressions? Are there true joy when people look at our lives? You know, it can and should be seen when we are joyful. People shouldn't be wondering or trying to figure out, is Errol joyful today? No. People shouldn't be wondering and thinking when they come in contact with you, whether they know you or they meet you for the first time. There should not be a wondering if this person is a joyful person. It's not a guessing game, is it? So there should be a visible evidence of our joy in the Lord. And this is really what I want to challenge all of us with. It's so easy to become grumpy. It's so easy to become that person that is known by all as the grumpy so-and-so. You see, men and women or mankind have pursued joy in every avenue imaginable. Some have successfully found it, while others have not. Now, perhaps it would be easier to describe where joy cannot be found. So follow with me, if you will, where joy cannot be found. Joy cannot be found in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. This is what he wrote. I wish I had never been born. Wow, talking about grumpy. Joy cannot be found in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. He wrote, the worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. Talk about being miserable. Joy cannot be found in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. Plenty of money, extremely rich. When he was dying, he said the following, I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. Wow. A man that had everything, materially had everything. One of the richest in the world at the time. And this is what he wrote. I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. Joy cannot be found in position or fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. This is what he wrote. Youth is a mistake. Manhood, a struggle. Old age, a regret. Wow. Joy cannot be found in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day and age. Having done so, he wept in his tent before he died, and he said, there are no more worlds to conquer. So, where then is real joy found? I think most of us know where real joy is found. That is in Christ Jesus. And I want to share with you four things briefly this morning about being joyful and what it means. So the first thing I want you to note is, I will be joyful when I am persecuted because of Christ. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 12. Now, before I read, Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the chapter, is where we see the Sermon on the Mount starts, where Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount. And then after the Beatitudes, we read from verse 11 and verse 12. It says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, we must, as born-again Christians who love God, irrespective of what we're going through, that's not the issue here this morning. The issue here is, we as Christians, we must be able to say, I will be joyful when I'm persecuted because of Christ. You see, and the idea here is, do not let others rob you of your joy. Now, this verse specifically speaks about when people outside in the world say things about us because of our faith. Right? So this is specifically about our faith, specifically because we love Christ, specifically because we serve Him, specifically of our true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it says, you are blessed when this happens. That's why it says in verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And look, folk, it's going to happen. If it hasn't happened already, it's going to happen to you. It happens to all of us because it happened to Christ. It happened to the prophets before us. But this is when God's blessing truly rests upon us. So people can say what they want. They can do what they want. They can insult as much as they want us about our life in Christ and our faith and why we believe what we believe. But that will not, it should not, take the joy that Christ has given us away from us. You see? So do not let anyone rob you of your joy. Nobody. Doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter whether they're friend, family, or foe. It does not matter. And it's important to understand here that sometimes family could do that. Sad, but true. Sometimes family don't understand why we believe what we believe. Some are blessed and fortunate enough to have family members that know Christ and they understand. Others don't. I am not saying that every single family member will do this to you, but if it does happen, know this. Don't let that rob you of your joyfulness in Christ, of really keeping that joy and that love for Christ. Secondly, we must be able to say that I will be joyful when I face trials as a believer. I will be joyful when I face trials as a believer. Now, this is where James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4 comes in. And this is what it says in James chapter 1, from verse 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, unlike the first part, the first one was specifically an attack on your Christian faith by others. Here, it speaks about trials and temptations of different kinds. So it can come from anywhere and it can be any type of difficulty that you are going through. So the idea here is in saying, I will be joyful when I face trials as a believer. You are saying, you are actually putting in perspective that do not let trials rob you of your joy. You see? Because God's word says, Jesus Christ himself said in the Gospels, I think it's at the end of John where he says, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will, not might, but you will. You will have difficulty. You will have challenges that you face. But be of good cheer. Don't let it rob your joy. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that is the key for us to remember there. In spite of what we go through right now, we can know for sure that we can overcome because Christ overcame. You see? Be of good cheer. Don't let your circumstances, don't let your trials take your joy away from you. Now, yes, we have been, what, almost 7 months now, if not more, facing a pandemic. And it was easy for this pandemic to rob us of our joy. We could look at various things that have happened to us and how it has destroyed many lives and lifestyles and livelihoods. But you know what? That shouldn't rob us. You know, I'm in no way nullifying the difficulty that people have gone through. But it is, however, very important to know and realize that life should not be defined, or the difficulties that we go through shouldn't define how we really love the Lord. In actual fact, in a sense, it does. It should point us more towards Christ. Love him more. Honor him more. So do not let trials rob you of your joy, because there's a reason why we go through it. Now, I'm sure each and every one of us have all experiencing different trials. Let's take the pandemic away just for a second. And the fact remains that there are still trials and difficulties and challenges that we are all faced with, isn't it? But don't, whatever you go through, whatever you are going through right now, do not let that rob you of your joy, because the devil would want to use this to take our eyes off him, to keep our eyes on our trials, our problems, and not see the good in what God is allowing to happen in our lives. Let me give you number three. We are in actual fact saying, number three, I will be joyful when I'm giving to the Lord. I will be joyful when I'm giving to the Lord. I want to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the first five verses. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, there you go, their overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. Let's stop there. So we are saying here, do not let yourself rob you of your joy. What do I mean? Here we see in the book of Corinthians, the Macedonian churches gave to God's work, even though they had little. But you know, they had a joy in giving. They had a joy in giving to God's work. So the point I see here is, I will be joyful when I'm giving to the Lord. Listen, whatever it is you are giving to God, and I'm not only talking about money here, I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your service. How are you serving God during this time? How are you serving your church or through your church during this time? You see? And how can you develop that joy even more for God by what you give to him? So do not let yourself rob you of your joy because of withholding. And this is the point. Do not withhold from giving to God. Do not withhold from giving to God. Because if you withhold, that's where you are robbing yourself of joy. Because, you know, the more we give to God, the more we can have an impact, the more it changes us, the more we can become joyful because we see what God is doing with what we have given, whether it be money, whether it be material things, whether it be resources, or whether it be our time and our lives. So I will be joyful when I'm giving to the Lord. It is not a chore to do God's work. It's not a drag when I've got to go up to church and do something. I've got to clean the church. Or when I've got to attend an event, or I've got to prepare an event. Or I've got to lead or play music or whatever it is. Don't let the devil rob you of that joy. The way he robs you is to stop you from doing it. And when you stop doing it, this is where you start looking at other people, what others are doing, and you start complaining and you start moaning. No, don't moan. Don't complain. Stop it. Get involved so that you can have that joy with everyone else that are serving God faithfully. Let me come to a conclusion. I'm running over time as I always do. Talk a lot. Number four, we are saying, I will be joyful when I'm blessed by the Lord. Wow, I like this one. Now, this is where I'm going to take you to the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 18 to 20. Book of Ecclesiastes is somewhere in the Old Testament. Okay, let's read from verse 18. It says, "This is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them. For this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. Verse 20. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart." Here we are actually saying, do not let your blessings rob you of your joy. What are you saying, Errol? Last time I spoke about us blessing God because God has spent a lifetime, each and every one of our lifetimes, in blessing us in various ways. Often when we are blessed by God, we can forget God. Often when we are blessed by God and God gives us the ability to achieve and to be fruitful, He also gives us the ability to enjoy it, we forget God. And often that can rob us of the joy. So that's why I'm saying, I will be joyful when I'm blessed by the Lord. So do not let your blessing, do not what you have achieved stop you. Do not let what you have created, what you have earned, do not let everything that you've acquired in life by God's grace rob you of your joy. Do you know what I mean? Because so often, what we have acquired in life becomes the biggest problem in our lives. I was sharing on Sunday, I was talking about temptation here in Hendon Baptist Church. And I said that life is not defined by our possessions. In actual fact, sometimes our possessions, our wealth can come in the way because we start focusing on that. But let us never forget that what I have is what God has given me. No matter how you look at it, no matter how you look at it, what you have in life, what you've achieved in life, everything that is good, God has been gracious to you and I. But we must always understand, do not let that override us being joyful and honoring God in everything that we do. So, let me recap. Number one, I will be joyful when I'm persecuted because of Christ. Number two, I will be joyful when I face trials as a believer. Number three, I will be joyful when I'm giving to the Lord. And number four, I will be joyful when I'm blessed by the Lord. Put another way, do not let others rob you of your joy. Do not let trials rob you of your joy. Do not let yourself rob you of your joy. And number four, do not let your blessings rob you of your joy. I want to close with this story, if you will. As a third century man was anticipating death, he penned these last words to a friend. "It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world, but I have discovered in the midst of it all a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than my pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of the souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians, and I am one of them." Wow. Brothers and sisters, this morning I pray that you will be able to say that circumstances will not stop me from being joyful in the Lord, no matter what I'm facing, no matter where I am. Let us pray as we close this morning. Gracious Lord and Eternal Father, we thank you for the goodness of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the perfection of God, the supremacy of God, and the supreme God that we serve. We thank you, Lord, that we have that joy that nobody can take away. Lord, help us to be truly joyful, that as the world encounters us, as friends and family encounter us, that they would not only sense but see a joy that is different from the world, a joy that only Jesus Christ can bestow upon us. Lord, help us to be true and faithful to your word and to live a joyful life as we live for you. Be blessed and be honored, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. And Lord willing, we will see each other soon when God allows us to get out and about a bit more. God bless you all. I love you all at Shotgate Baptist Church. And may God's blessing rest upon you. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Earl, for that. And I'm sure everyone listening has found some encouragement and some challenge from that message today. So we're just going to listen to a final song before we close. The song is All Heaven Declares, and Pam is going to play that for us. Thank you, Pam. Now we've reached the end of this morning's service. I hope you've enjoyed your time with us. As I say, we will be going back into the church building in a couple of weeks' time. Pam, Maureen, myself and John actually went in on Saturday to do half a day's cleaning and sorting and obviously making sure that chairs and things are in the right place. And it was a real blessing to be back inside the building and to see one another again. We prayed for the church, obviously, and for you as well. We just prayed that everything would be in God's hands and that when we do get back in the building, it would be such an amazing time together. And we just continue to pray that. So please do continue to pray for all the practicalities that need to go in line with that. And obviously we hope to see as many of you as feel able to. However, we will still continue to record the services and put them on the website so that everybody is able to join. So I'd just like to close with a word from Jude, and I hope that you have a good rest of your Sunday and I look forward to speaking to you soon. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence, without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.